We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to have you with us. Super Tuesday edition of the show. You know, the first time I saw my next guest, I was transfixed at what I was seeing. I was fascinated by it. And then you became fascinated by it. And then the nation became fascinated by it. This, what he does, his routine, his act, if you will, is the most entertaining in-game act in all of sports, in all of professional sports today. And it's caught such fire that when it began a couple years ago, I had him on my show in Houston. And then the other day, it's the start of the college football season, and I heard his name mentioned again. I took a video of what I heard on my phone. I sent it to him, and I said, hey, buddy, we've got to have you on the show again. And of course, I'm talking about the Freeze, who you know as the guy who races around the track lightning speed at Atlanta Braves games. All right, here's what it sounds like when he's doing his thing.
Oh boy. Bless his heart. A valiant try. As the Freeze wins again.
The Freeze. I mean, the man is, you know, the contestants, the fans, get a head start on him on one warning track. They have to run around the whole warning track. And I believe the Freeze, what is he, like a handicap of 3 or 4 seconds, has to catch them. And he's in this baby blue costume with his big goggles on. You can't see who it is, right? But you know that it looks like the fastest dude you've ever seen. It's like Usain Bolt out there on the track, right? So I'm watching college football opening weekend, and Auburn is playing Oregon, and lo and behold, the announcers are trying to remember the man that we're about to have on the show. Here is, I believe it, what was it, Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit calling Oregon and Auburn.
Because he's a little shimmy. Then he realizes, I got this guy. I've got him in my sights. He's not scoring a touchdown. Not tonight. No way. That effort right there. And then the defense getting the three and out. The progressive pylon cam shows you that effort. And they end up having to kick a field goal. Good job, Ass.
Who's the guy that runs down to the fan that won the warning track at baseball game?
Oh, yeah. That's what that looks like. That's exactly right.
Blows fast. Was it the Flash?
And he always wins. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody.
I saw him lose in London. He wins in London in the Yankees Red Sox game. He did not get his best. And they set him up with a track star.
You know you've made an impact when Fowler and Herbstreit are talking about you the first week of the college football season. Let's talk to the man behind the costume, the man that has made this whole thing blow up, the man that I don't believe is getting the credit he deserves. His name is Nigel Talton, okay? And you can follow him on Twitter, at NoStressTalton. He joins us right now on the show. You know him as the Freeze. I know him as Nigel. Let's get to know the man behind the costume. Nigel, welcome to Offsides with Mark Ryan. You're on with me here in the upstate of South Carolina, Greenville area, just a couple hours north of where you do your thing in Atlanta. My man, it's been a couple of years. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing really, really well. So I want you to, Nigel, why is it that we don't know who you are? Why is it that we just know the Freeze, but we don't know Nigel?
Not even sure how to answer that question. But now you can get to know me as Nigel.
I'm looking forward to that, man. I'm looking forward to getting to know you as Nigel. So tell me what this process is like. Like, you go to the games. How often do they have you doing your thing, man?
On Fridays and Saturdays. The other days, I'm working on the ground crew. I work on the ground crew as well on Fridays and Saturdays, but the promotion is only on Fridays and Saturdays.
Fridays and Saturdays. And, like, so you heard in that clip, that I sent you, Nigel, from college football, right? Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit are talking about you, right? How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel to know kind of the reach that you've had in this act that you do, in this entertainment that you do during the games? Everybody knows who you are, man. Everybody knows the superhero. Nobody knows Nigel, but everybody knows of the Freeze. That's got to feel good, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's the best part about it?
The best part is me inspiring others, me inspiring the fans, the visiting team, me just inspiring everybody across the nation.
I mean, it sounds like an inspiring thing to me, if I'm honest with you. I mean, and in that clip, I need you to tell me about this race, Freeze, because in that particular clip, Chris Fowler was mentioning that you lost in London. Now, can you tell me about that race? Does Chris Fowler not factor in jet lag, man? I mean, you've been jet lagged 8 hours on the flight, man. I mean, come on. Give you a little bit of a break here. What happened in London? What was he talking about there?
So the first race I did, I lost. The second race, I won. First race, we were just trying to get jet lag out, and we were also trying to calm down the distance. But, you know, it's not about winning or losing to me. It's about entertaining the fans. I was the first to go over to London to the first MLB across the pond to be able to entertain others.
It is really, really entertaining, Nigel. Okay, because I'm getting you out of the uniform now. Okay, I'm removing you from the uniform. I'm going to ask you this as Nigel. Okay, not as the Freeze. Have the Braves ever told you, "Hey, I think it would be good if you lost this one"?
No, they never told me that.
They never told you it'd be good for you to lose this one, man. So each and every time that I see you out on the warning track, I can trust that we're getting the very best effort that you have to offer.
Yes, sir.
So tell me about your background with racing, Nigel. Because I mean, dude, you are fast as hell. Growing up, were you just faster than everybody? I mean, it almost looks superhuman what you're doing out there.
No, sir. I've been running track since my 11th grade year, so I'd say at least 17 years. I always been that guy that always got to work for whatever you want, so I'm always working hard to get where I'm trying to go. So I've been running track since, like I say, my 11th grade year at Peach County High School. I earned a scholarship to Iowa Wesleyan University. I broke the record there in the 100-meter dash, the 200-meter dash, and then I took my talents. I brought my talents back to home, Georgia, to Shorter University, and I held the record in the 50-meter dash, 100-meter dash. I won nationals there, and then I finished it up at Kennesaw State. And now, right now, I'm training to be able to compete on the toughest team in the world, the U.S. Olympic team. So I'm training there to get to the Olympic trials next summer and have that opportunity to make that tough team that it is, the hardest team to make in the world.
How's that going for you so far?
It's going great. I've been training on my own. I don't start with the group I'm training with until October the 14th. So I'll be here in Atlanta training with a bunch of great group of guys. So I'm excited about this opportunity.
I'm excited for you, man. I'm really excited for you. And I'd love to see you on the Olympic trials, you know? Are the Braves okay with people knowing who you are, Nigel? Like if I'm watching you on the Olympic trials, like let's say you make it to the Olympic trials, will it say, you know, on the bottom of the TV screen, if you're about to race, will it say also known as the Freeze with the Atlanta Braves?
So I don't know what people will say once they see me at the Olympic trials, but a lot of people know who I am from my identity getting out. Once we played the Mets my identity got out, and then Topps made a freeze card, and my identity was out. So I don't know how they feel about it, but
I want the freeze card. I want the freeze card. Do you got a spare one of those you can send to me?
Yes, sir.
I want the freeze card, man. I definitely want to get my hands on one of those, man. No doubt about it. So my producer is 50 years old, is a former D3 football player, okay? Is about 6'2", 280 large. He will shake his head vehemently. He's going to push me down to about 265, right? So he's about, no, 6'4", right? Are you 6'4", Lonzo, or 6'2"?
6'2".
6'2", 265. Nigel, here's my question for you as the Freeze from Atlanta Braves games is joining us here on the show. If we put you in a sumo suit, could you still beat my producer?
I'm not sure. I never underestimate anyone. So, you know, we just have to see one day if we ever got that chance.
Well, you don't have to. I will underestimate him, okay? You would absolutely win that race with Lonzo in a sumo suit. What's your 40-yard time, Nigel?
4.28.
Yeah, you'd win in the sumo suit. Yeah, easily. That'd be an easy.
I noticed you didn't put yourself in there because there was no way.
No,
and you used to run track.
I ran
but you
track.
Did not throw yourself in there at all.
I ran track. Nigel, what kind of head start do they give the – is it the same number every time? Like how long is the head start that they give them?
It's different every time. Someone stands behind me and tells me when to go.
Wait a minute. Why is it different every time? Why would they change it every time?
I'm not sure, Bob.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm gathering they just look at the person and they make a judgment on as to how fast they think the person is. There's some stereotyping going on there. Wow. Okay. So let me tell you this. Let me ask you this, Nigel. What have there been any talks between you and the Braves? I mean, what you've done is so popular. And I want you to realize this, Nigel, okay? Like, even though everybody knows the Freeze, you're the star, and we're kind of unmasking you here today to our audience here on the show. Yes, the Freeze is kind of like a superhero, and that's what makes it so interesting and compelling. But I want everyone to know who you are, and you're an amazing athlete, one of the best athletes I've ever seen. And I think you're faster than any of the ball players playing out there. So has anyone approached you, Nigel, and said, hey, in terms of what's next for you, like what are some other ways that they might be able to use your unique talent? Do you have any idea what might be next for you, Nigel?
No, sir. Taking it one day at a time.
Taking it one day at a time. Well, you know how, like, with bands, ladies and gentlemen, you have, like, the one-hit wonders, and you have, like, certain styles and fads that are kind of flash in the pans? My main man, Nigel Talton, has been doing this now since I was made aware of it in, I believe, early 2017, and it's every bit as popular now as it always was. And, you know, whereas it's tough for me to sit down and watch a regular season baseball game, the thing that would get, I'll tell you, I would sit down, I would turn on, if you told me, Mark, the Freeze is going in 5 minutes, or Mark, Ronald Acuna Jr. is about to step up to bat, I would be more likely to turn on my TV to watch the Freeze than I would Ronald Acuna Jr. I think it's incredibly entertaining to witness him racing fans around the warning track at Atlanta Braves games, and everybody knows about him. Nigel, man, great to talk to you. Great to catch up with you. Keep doing what you're doing. Good luck with the Olympic trials coming up, man. And if you would be so kind, I would love to get one of those Topps freeze cards, man. That would be amazing.
Yes, sir.
Hey, buddy, all the best, and we'll be watching you, all right?
Thank you.
All right, you got it. Nigel Talton, otherise known as the Freeze.
Trying to fleece him for that card, man. You're pushing
well,
that.
Wait a minute. Whenever I've been in the newspaper or had some clippings, Lonzo, you know what I do? I have like 75 of the newspapers. You don't think he's got 500 cards? You don't think he's got 500 Freeze cards that were given to him by the company? You don't think he negotiated that? You don't think when someone writes a book, they have books, a pile of books that they're giving away to the media? See what I'm saying? That's his publicity, man. That's kind of what he does. And Nigel's a man of a few words. He's a man of few words, as you could tell. But I find what he does fascinating. Like, I really do.
The fact that he's trying out for the Olympics, I think that's really, really cool. I hope he makes it.
Yeah, there you go. I completely and totally agree. All right, coming your way next. Appreciate your patience as we pressed pause on the Moe's Southwest Grill top three at three for just one segment. That is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Our thanks to the Freeze, Nigel Talton, for joining us in the last segment. You guys have heard me say this. Unfortunately, I've had a romantic relationship with baseball over the years that has fallen on hard times. I have since filed for divorce. I feel like some of the differences are irreconcilable. But even after divorces, sometimes you have a reunification. Sometimes you try again. And, you know, baseball is making its best push with me right now. You got a new commissioner that is making, in my opinion, positive changes. You are experimenting with robotic umpires, which I think is change we certainly can believe in, and getting rid of human error as part of the game. I think the next step would be obviously lowering the number of games, playing the playoffs in August instead of October, so you're not in the way of football. I think all of those things would be huge helps moving forward to a game that I used to love. You know, it's weird. Like, do you guys have any things in your life that you used to love and now it's tired to you? You know, like, what in your life would fit that bill, Lonzo? You used to love it, but now it's run its course for you.
See, this is one of those things where you just throw it at me and expect, and I can't think of anything. And I know, okay. I know it's horrible, but I just can't think of anything.
So for me, Ferris Bueller is a movie that I will always love, and it doesn't matter if I've seen it 150 times. But I grew up and I was madly in love with baseball. Literally every statistic I knew. And I've fallen out of love with it. It doesn't do it for me anymore. What used to do it for me doesn't.
See,
right?
here's the problem with me, and you've noticed this. I'm a very routine person. I will eat the same thing every day. I will do some of the same things every day.
It's called being boring.
Well, no, it's not. It's called I like uniformity and things like that. I have chaos in my life. There's chaos at work right now. I mean, we have some chaos that we have to deal with, but I also like certain things to be uniform. It's hard for me to get tired of something. It just is. That's just my personality, and I disagree with the boring part. I have a very exciting life, thank you very much. But I'm just very uniform, so I don't get tired of anything. I couldn't fall out of love with baseball because I never liked baseball to begin with.
Yeah, and I did back in the day. But things like the Freeze and that, you know, that gets me into what I'm seeing on the screen. And that to me is very, 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 very interesting. All right. We do it each and every day. We call it the top three at three. It is presented by Moe's Southwest Grill with a new location at 449 East Main Street, the east part of downtown in Spartanburg. And the top three at three begins right now. All right, coming up at number three today, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm a man of principle and values. And in my life, I would always rather lose by shooting my shot than win by kind of being a pansy, if I'm honest with you. Last night, the Texans, I'd rather lose by being aggressive than win by being soft, for sure. Last night, the Texans said, hold my beer. How about losing and playing soft? You see, Deshaun Watson, former Clemson great, current Texan great, had to suffer defeat last night, and he had to suffer it because his team went into a Hail Mary defense when the Saints had the ball at midfield with 6 seconds to go. Because they went to a Hail Mary defense with 6 seconds left and not a normal defense, the Saints were able to complete an 8-yard pass that also enabled them to attempt a 58-yard field goal that they then went on to make. and the Houston Texans lost a game they had no business losing. If I lose because I was in man coverage and you hit me for a touchdown pass, so be it. But I am not going to lose because I failed to be aggressive. I'll tell you what, I know there's a lot of Houston Texans fans in this area, and I'm not sure if you guys are where the fans are in Houston. They have had it up to here with Bill O'Brien and his questionable decision-making. And he's so ornery, you can't even ask him the questions you want to ask him on a day-to-day basis. He gets so short and snippy with the media. I think that's a relationship between Bill O'Brien and the city of Houston that is coming to an end sooner rather than later. Next up. All right, folks, my belief is, in line with Will Pelagic, that football should lose kicking at all levels. The sport of football should get rid of kicking at all levels. Why do I feel that way? Well, the kickers have nothing to do with the game being played, yet they decide everything. They decide everything, and I'm tired of seeing that. If kickers had never existed and you instituted them today, everyone would be saying, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What do these guys have to do with the game being played? Even in movies like Coming to America, they highlight the lunacy of kicking by saying things like, you kick an oblong ball of pigskin through a big H. That's how they describe football. So what does Mark Ryan propose if he's getting rid of kickers and punters? Here you go. If you want to punt, one of your defensive starters has to do it. That would result in shorter punts of maybe 25 to 30 yards, and that would result in more fourth downs being attempted, which is more exciting, right? No field goals at all. You would get 3 points for making it to your opponent's 20-yard line, and you could keep the 3 points or risk it and go for the full touchdown. Tell me, in terms of excitement, that wouldn't be more exciting. We recently saw the AAF institute a 4th-and-15 play, which they allowed you to attempt instead of an onside kick. Was that perhaps the beginning of trying to jettison kicking from the game? Folks, kickers and punters, they're not football players. They have nothing to do with the game, and they decide everything, and I have reached my saturation point with them. That is the bottom line. I've had it with them, and I believe there's a better way. And I'm asking you, who's coming with me? Would you get behind a game of football that did not include punters and kickers? I certainly would. And finally, all right, folks, so I don't know if you heard about this, and I'm trying to formulate my opinion about this right now, if I'm honest with you. California has passed a law that where any athlete can get paid off of any shoe and jersey deal. And now you are wondering if recruits are going to flood the state of California. There's no doubt about it. California is one of the three best and most fertile recruiting states in the country, be it California, Texas, and Florida. But now they've got a new law that states this, and this rule applies to anybody. And this is, as we've predicted, the beginning to the end of college football as we know it. I'm not saying it's going away. I'm saying it is fundamentally changing. And I'm always asking myself with stories like this, how does it affect us locally? The most pertinent story that comes to mind to me is what the best coach in the nation has said. That when we get to the point where we're paying college athletes, paraphrasing Dabo Swinney now, that'll be when it's time for me to hang them up. That'll be when it's time for me to go to the pros. Because if I'm going to be coaching professional players, I might as well do that at the highest level. Dabo Swinney has said he would pack it up and leave when players were being paid. Well, guess what, folks? Now, in one of the most powerful states in the country, players will be able to receive compensation for just that. This started with Ed O'Bannon. And Ed O'Bannon was just fighting for what he saw as his rights. But what it's cost you and I, it's cost us a video game we love in NCAA football, and it's going to fundamentally change the game. You know, paying athletes has become as much of an air quote crime as smoking weed. That is to say, it doesn't really feel like a crime at all. It's a crime, technically, but people do it. They don't feel bad about it. The punishments aren't enforced, and the punishments are somewhat laughable. Would you ever think that paying college athletes from school to player would feel like as marginal as smoking weed? That's where we are today, folks. And California said, if this is what it's going to be, we are putting an end to it. This is the beginning of the end of college football as we know it. It will still exist, but it will exist in a very, very different form. And you wonder, and I ask you, if guys like Dabo Swinney will stick around with the direction that this is going. Those are today's top three at three. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do at 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter is there for you as well. At Mark Ryan on air, at ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word is how you can get to us here today. All right, your thoughts, your opinions, welcome on all of the above. But also, we will be joined by our weekly guest, Taylor Estes, national college football analyst for 24/7 Sports. She was in Austin for LSU and Texas. Is LSU the national title contender that Lonzo seems to believe they are? We'll ask her that and play word association with her next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you. You know, the biggest shock to me in the weekend that was in college football, look, I think Texas is the real deal. I think they proved that last year against Georgia. I thought and I predicted as an SEC guy, where I believe that I root for every SEC team and other conferences don't understand that. It's just how it is in the SEC. Every team in the SEC is a family member sitting at my Thanksgiving dinner table. And I like some family members more than others. Right? But I still root for them all. It was really hard for me heading into the weekend to pick both Clemson and Texas to win, and I was wrong about Texas. LSU, to me, looks like a world beater. LSU, to me, is now number one in my SEC power poll this week. The SEC is the best rendition of themselves, in my opinion, since the national championship years. They really, really are. What an impressive performance. Who better to join us to talk about this and all things college football than a managing editor for Horns 24/7 and 24/7 Sports? She joins us each and every Tuesday at 3:40 p.m. Eastern Time. Taylor Estes joins us right now. What is the general feeling in Austin after that game, Taylor?
You know, Mark, I think that while obviously Texas fans would have loved to see, you know, their team kind of rise above the SEC powerhouse LSU, I think that fans really should be kind of proud that Texas was able to stay in that game, in my opinion. You know, there's no such thing as moral victories, especially at big-time college football programs like an LSU or like a Texas or Clemson or whatever it may be. But there is no doubt, after seeing that LSU team, you know, in person firsthand, that is easily one of the most talented teams in the country. And I, you know, I have no doubt in saying that, you know, if Joe Burrow can stay healthy this season, my goodness, like, he surprised me. You know, I was kind of hesitant to kind of buy into this whole new look LSU offense with the addition of passing game coordinator Joe Brady. But honestly, that shocked me. I was so surprised to see how well that LSU offense did against Texas defense. You know, Texas defense still has some young players, especially in their secondary, but man, Joe Burrow made some NFL caliber of throws against that secondary where it didn't matter who would have been covering those receivers. Those were plays that you really couldn't break up. So the fact that Texas was able to keep it, you know, a one touchdown game, and, you know, let's be honest, if Texas would have actually, you know, not dropped the first touchdown pass in the first quarter to Keontae Ingram or taking the points, I mean, that would have been a different ball game. If Texas wouldn't have gone for it on those fourth down drives in the first quarter. But, you know, overall, I think if you're a Texas fan, you have to be pretty proud that your team was able to go toe-to-toe with easily one of the most talented teams in the country.
So am I gathering this correct, Taylor, that if the question is what was the difference between the two teams, that Taylor's answer would be Joe Burrow's passing ability versus Sam Ehlinger's passing ability, and number two, poor decision-making by Tom Herman?
I wouldn't say that, because I do think that, you know, Sam Ehlinger had a slow start, obviously, but, you know, LSU, you know, at the end of the first quarter, it was only 3-0. So I think that the biggest difference was the defenses in this one. You know, LSU's secondary looked pretty good, even though Sam Ehlinger threw for over 400 yards on it. You know, I mean, there were some very big plays that the LSU secondary made, where Texas made a couple of mistakes, especially on that 3rd and 17 down the stretch, giving up that touchdown to LSU. That was kind of the deal breaker there. I think that I would say that the secondary issues for Texas kind of shined a little bit more facing that caliber of a quarterback. So I would say that would probably be number one. And then, yeah, I mean, it's hard not to question. You know, I mean, if Keonta Ingram catches that touchdown, there's 7 right there. And then if they go for the kick, you know, the following offensive possession when they got the ball on their own 4-yard line, you know, that's 10 points right there. So it's hard not to, you know, everybody's a Monday morning quarterback. You know, hindsight is 20/20 for a reason. But, yeah, I mean, I think that those decisions definitely played a role.
There's no doubt about it they did. Taylor, I apologize on behalf of my gender for a tweet that you were sent a few days ago. I don't even get to see. I haven't even gotten to see it. But I wanted to see, like, your tweet was as follows. Actually, I didn't interview for my job because I was good at it, and those who were in charge of hiring me knew that, so I was hired on the spot. Oh, you said my looks are the only reason I have a job as an editor-writer. Clear sarcasm there. Because, you know, yeah. People see my face behind the written word. Thanks for complimenting my appearance, though. Cupcake. I think cupcake is my favorite part of that. That's absolutely priceless. Can you... first of all, I apologize on behalf of men everywhere. Secondly, can you share what was said? Because this guy clearly deleted his tweet and went running for the hills.
Yeah, you know, so I get a lot of the comments. I mean, women in general that work in sports, you're obviously going to be subjected to a lot more of those types of comments. But the ones that really get me are the people who are like, oh, you have your job because of your looks. And that's what the guy said. The guy said that I have my job because of my looks, so STFU, I'm not going to obviously say what that means. But, and it was just because I tweeted out the story about, you know, Texas kind of denying the claims that LSU did not have air conditioning in their locker room. So that was the guy's response to me. So obviously, you know, when I see that, it's like, yes, because writers are so well known for being attractive. And that, like, absolutely, you know, that's 100% why I have my job. So let's, right. You know, like, let's, you know, kind of back off a little bit. But I should probably kind of ease it a little bit when those people say those things. But when people are just stupid, it's really hard for me to keep my, you know, bite my tongue. So,
you know, that may not have been the case for you, Taylor, but I absolutely got my job where no one can see me because of my looks as well. You know,
it's so
very, very clearly in radio to hire somebody for their appearance. And that is why I have been hired as well. I'll give you a little strategy, though, after having seen this, because I know you might be shocked by this, but I tend to get one piece of hate mail or 40 at a time as well. My favorite go-to now, because what these people want is they want to insult you and they don't want anybody coming after them, right? And it's amazing how thin-skinned they are when people start coming after them. It's like they can insult. I mean, these keyboard warriors are the biggest can dish but can't take it people I've ever seen in my life. So what?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. What I do. I had somebody say to me something implied that I was doing something. You know, I was kissing so much butt of Clemson that I something sexual with Dabo Sweeney's man parts. Right. I had somebody say that to me. He was an attorney from Columbia, South Carolina. So after he tweeted it, I snapshotted it. Right. And then he deleted the tweet and I just reposted the picture that I took, you know, and then everyone was still coming after him. And he's like, man, I apologize. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's amazing how that works. Right. So screenshotting it kind of is my ace in the hole when that happens. You know,
I'm just,
it might be a route for you in the future. you know?
Right. Well, I did take the screenshots. If you go to one of my more recent tweets, I took screenshots of all of his. And the reason why I called him Cupcake, like, I was not trying to be, you know, insulting to anyone, but that's what he called me. He said, "You have a job strictly because of your looks, Cupcake." So if someone's going to have a pet name for me, I'll for sure use that pet name back to them.
Come right back with it. Come right back with it. I love it. Yeah. Okay, let's close today with a little word association. First word that comes to mind when I share the following with you. Florida State.
Oh,
That's the word. That's the word. Oh, there's the word for Florida State. California's new law allowing payments for likeness players, so on and so forth.
Positive. I think that's a good step.
Positive. Alcohol at games.
I like it personally. You know, Texas is one of the schools that does sell alcohol. I think it keeps the fans in the game instead of leaving at halftime to go to tailgates to drink. So I think it's positive. Well, I shouldn't say drinking, you know, responsibly positive.
Wearing formal wear to football games.
No, never, never, no, never.
That is so popular in the SEC, though. You know, the sorority and fraternity guys, they got their ties. I'm like, what is wrong with us as human beings? Like when in 98 degrees, we're in long sleeve shirts and formal dresses and all these other things. All right.
Well, I mean, football is such a glamorous sport, right? I mean, come on. Like if we're talking about the most like brutal sport, football is probably one of them. I don't think of a dress or a tie ever.
And air conditioning in the visitor's locker room at Texas, something Ed Orgeron says does not exist. Word association with that.
It does exist. That's the one I'm going to go with.
Why is he saying that then? Why is he saying that?
That's a great question.
And why did Louisiana Tech say that before him?
Well, and here's my question with this. Why is it that Louisiana Tech never said anything after the game about it? And why would Ed Orgeron go out of his way to somehow call the school to make sure they had AC? Like, that has never been an issue at Texas. Now, I don't know if maybe they don't know how to turn on an air conditioning or something like that. That sounds like a user error in my opinion, but you know, like I've covered Texas for a really long time. And what I've gathered from Texas is if there is a situation along those lines, they usually will not release some sort of statement about it. They'll usually, you know, if it was accurate, they would probably just kind of let it go by and not really say anything. And so the fact that the Texas athletic director did come out and release a statement saying that that has never been an issue and that they checked with their facility staff and it was working in good working order, and that's a quote from the facility staff, like that's not something Texas has done if it really wasn't the case. So it's really hard. Like when I saw those claims, I was like, okay, I'm going to let's see if Texas makes a statement. If they don't make a statement, it's probably true. If they do, it's likely not true. So I don't know. I mean, that seems weird. I really just wonder if, you know, he's trying to kind of protect himself a little bit because there were so many of those quote unquote cramping issues in the third quarter that, you know, I don't know if he was getting questioned of like their conditioning standards or what, or if he was intentionally stopping the game, which even the game broadcasters made a mention of. So I don't know what's going on there, but, you know, I really would not expect Texas to make a statement if it wasn't true.
Taylor, thank you so much. Always appreciate you. Hope you're feeling great. See you next week.
Thanks, Mark.
You got it. Taylor Gasper Estes, managing editor for 24/7 Sports. The best thing we heard today is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Funny text from JT and Greer. Kicking is a good part of the game. Don't take it away, Mark. And furthermore, without kicking, Muschamp couldn't punt on fourth down and 3 inches to go on the other team's 38-yard line. Thank you, JT. Hey, the best thing we heard today is a voicemail I got from my dad right after he woke up from anesthesia after his colonoscopy. How do you feel about this one, Clemson fans?
Mark Ryan, this is Dad. I say the Clemson Tigers are wannabes. The real champions are the Florida Gators. Give me a call.
What do drugs do to you? That's what they do to my old man. Oh, man, that cracked me up. Happy I could share that with you today. Happy he allowed me to share that with you today. All right, folks, thanks so much for listening. And stay tuned for Straight Up with Sturge coming your way next. Will Pelagic sitting in. And we thank you for tuning in to the most interactive sports radio show in South Carolina. You're Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.